Next on BYUSN, the Cougars head into Wyoming this week, possibly without their top two running backs. What to do? And is that injury issue or turnovers more concerning for the Cougars?
The BYU receiver GOAT, Austin Colley, joins us. Does he think the Cougars are ahead of schedule at this point? Maybe on defense. And I go one-on-one with BYU tight end Mata'ava Taase.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Tuesday, September 10th. I am Spencer Linton. He is a man who can appreciate a deep bass voice, especially when it's voiceovers in movies, Jerem Jordan.
Hey, rip James Earl Jones. Passed away at the age of 93 yesterday. Iconic roles, man. Obviously highlighted by Darth Vader in Star Wars.
Yes.
Lion King, Sandlot, Hunt for Red October, Patriot Games, Clear and Present Danger, Coming to America, a million. Roles. What was your favorite James Earl Jones role or voiceover or anything in a movie?
Well, his voiceover clearly has to be Darth Vader, right? Like, that is all-time classic. But in terms of the actor, where you see him and you get to feel his emotion he's portrayed as an actual person, Field of Dreams for me.
Pretty good.
Is my favorite. Well, probably the movie that carries the most nostalgia for me. But I thought he was fantastic in Field of Dreams. He's awesome all the time.
Yeah.
But that,
what
that
movie
to me,
is he in that you're like, nah, it was meh? Every single one, just banger, banger.
I watched
banger.
The top 10 list from David Letterman yesterday. It was like the top 10
too.
Things that sound cooler when
James
Earl
Jones
voices it.
Number three. That's it?
Yeah. I can't believe it's not butter.
And he did it very serious. Yeah. No, rip James Earl Jones, man. But bummer to hear that news. That's the kind of news where I see it and I pop out and I go, oh my gosh, you guys, did you hear this? So, best wishes to his family at this time. But yeah, iconic. He lives on forever through film.
Fun to think back on an incredible career, for sure.
Yeah, I wish I had a booming, deep voice like that. I don't, man.
It is iconic is the best way that I can explain it.
Yep.
That said, all rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
I'm BYU, I'm treating this like the Super Bowl, and I'm going in thinking this is going to be a fight to the finish. I'm not sure that Wyoming is that bad yet. They play all year like they played against SMU. It's going to be hard to score on these guys.
You never know what you're going to get in Laramie.
Isn't that the truth? Hey, Kalani Sitake and BYU football headed to face Wyoming on Saturday night, and he's doing so without his top two running backs. He says LJ Martin and Hinkley Rapati are quote-unquote doubtful, Jerem, for the Wyoming game. Here is Kalani Sitake on that situation.
We talked about the depth. It's going to be testing the running back room. Hopefully we get better news with the recovery from both the backs. But we'll have to kind of just wait and see what today says. But if I were telling you guys, honestly, it's like it looks doubtful. So.
Okay, so maybe more Enoch Nawahine, more Miles Davis. Mm-hmm. Kalani was also clearly fired up yesterday about ball security, or BYU's lack thereof, specifically against SMU, when he was asked about that.
Take care of the stinking football. That's what it comes down to. So I've said it over and over and over again. I don't want guys to have to play tight and feel like they can't take a chance, but that the football belongs to everybody. It belongs to the fans. It belongs to the team. It belongs to the program. It's not just that one player's. It's not his ball. It belongs to all of us. And so they need to start thinking about it more like that.
Jerem, I want to hear James Earl Jones say, take care of the stinking football.
Seriously. That was great from Clint. I love that he's fired up.
He was passionate about that. So those are the two major concerns, clearly. Your running back depth and BYU's ball security problems. What's the bigger concern for you as BYU heads into the Wyoming game? Is it injuries to the running backs, or is it taking care of the football?
To me, it's injuries, because I feel like you could sort of figure out how to take the football, but an injury, that's tough. That may linger into other games. That may affect how this season goes, Spencer. Like, if LJ Martin and Hinkley Rapati aren't in the mix, you're asking your third, fourth, and perhaps fifth string running backs to now be the one and two and three. And if they step up and it's great, that's awesome. But typically you don't walk into the air and go, our fourth and fifth string are going to have a big role in any position. So Enoch Nawahine showed some flashes of brilliance. He's going to have to between the tackles. 5'10", 205, Utah State transfer, was on the roster last year. 4.4 yards per carry so far, had the touchdown on the ground. Miles Davis, of course, we've seen him fly. 4th-and-1 for 37 yards against SMU. Oh, by the way, against Wyoming, he was incredible a couple years ago with his top rushing game of over 100 yards. He was fantastic. Miles is a 5.7 yards per carry guy for his career. I think we sort of undervalue how good he's been in spots.
His speed is right. Notable. He's the fastest running back.
Is Miles going to run between the tackles, or is it always outside? Is it always off-tackle stuff for him? Is it always wide? Is it always stretch? What's that going to be like? Is that too predictable? If Enoch Nwaneka comes in, oh, that's between the tackles. Miles Davis comes in, oh, that's outside. Can they mix it up in a way where it is effective? I'm sure Aaron Roderick's going to figure that out. But so it is injuries for me, but turnovers certainly. I like that Kalani was fired up about this. That was the anti-Brian Kelly pounding his fist on the desk, which felt so fake to me. Kalani sincerely doesn't like this. And the question exactly was, are you concerned about Jake Retzlaff and those three turnovers as something you need to address moving forward, or a one-off? And he was like, there are no one-offs. Take care of the stinking football. He understands that if BYU doesn't turn it over, they can win a lot of games. And you still have to do good stuff. You can't just not do bad stuff, if that makes sense. Oh, we omissively were good at turnovers. Well, commissively, you have to take it away on defense, and yes. Then you have to not turn it over as well. So I think you can figure out turnovers a little easier than you can injuries.
Okay.
So I'm going to say injuries is more concerning because it's a big deal if LJ Martin and Hinkley Ropati are not playing in this game.
Certainly turnovers and ball security by nature should be more easily fixable than just, hey, LJ, can you go ahead and just make your ankle feel a little bit better?
Right. And this game, Miles Davis, Enoch Nwaneka, I would think that you'd be okay in this
yes.
game. But I'm not thinking about this game. I'm thinking about Kansas State after and all the games after that. My concern is that these may
sure.
linger.
Sure.
It looked like an ankle on LJ. We don't know exactly what it is on Hinkley. Ankle or knee, perhaps. But that's concerning for the season, Spence.
To answer the question specifically, because we're asking, well, which is a bigger deal going into the Wyoming game? Yeah, BYU is going to be able to figure it out with the running backs, with Nwaneka and Miles Davis. It'll work. Aaron Roderick will have enough in his offense to make it work at Wyoming. The one thing that could possibly keep Wyoming in the game is if BYU gives it away. That's how teams that have no business being in football games stay in games and then start to believe. And if this game gets weird and it's late in the third quarter and BYU's only up by 3 and they've turned it over a couple of times in bad scenarios and Wyoming's turned that into points, I hate that scenario. That's how bad teams beat good teams. Turnovers drive that more often than not. So I am more concerned about the turnovers. Jake Retzlaff needs to figure it out. He knows it. He talked to me specifically about it in the postgame. He called his play ugly. Gritty at times, but mostly ugly. And he said, I straight up need to be better with taking care of the ball. So he's feeling a lot of that. If he can't take care of the ball against Wyoming, this could spell big trouble for the Cougars because Wyoming, as we documented yesterday, is not a great team, Jerem.
They are -4 in margin. They don't have a takeaway through two games quite yet. So that's the good news. It's not like Wyoming's been taken away. They have not at all.
So that makes it even worse if BYU is the first to then give the ball away.
Yeah. Why are you letting them do it now?
Right?
Yeah. No, yes. Going into Wyoming, and that's the question, but I can't.
It's hard not to think about the bigger picture.
I'm thinking way beyond Wyoming.
For sure.
Wyoming? I mean, BYU should go in and crush these fools. Oh, put it on the locker room. They have really struggled, and I'm confident that BYU's defense is going to play great, and that BYU's offense will figure something out. Jake Retzlaff really needs to take care of the ball, obviously. That was Kalani getting fired up specifically at, hey, Jake, take care of the
yes,
ball.
Yes, and Kalani.
Everybody, but Jake specifically.
Kalani talked about where BYU has been turning the ball over. Not all turnovers are created equally.
Where's the best spot for a turnover? The 50-yard line?
Probably in the middle of the field.
Because you don't want to turn it over when you're about to score. You don't want to turn it over at the beginning of the drive near your own end zone.
And that's where BYU did it twice.
Yeah, crazy. Crazy. And the defense obviously bailed the offense out quite a bit. And the offense made, like we talked about yesterday, enough timely plays. But it was not a good game. It was a bad game. So going into this game, there are some concerns. But if you look to Kansas State and you don't have LJ and Hinkley, if that was the case, real concern. real concern. But, you know, BYU's confident in their running back depth. They like those guys. Pukai Haunga has not played yet. They're going to play him.
And he was listed ahead of Enoch Nawahine on the depth chart.
He was fourth. And then Enoch was fifth. So Enoch is a guy that's a fourth-year junior, a little bigger, 5'10", 205. And he looked pretty good. Can you run everything in the playbook with Enoch? Well, guess what? He and Miles are going to get a lot of reps with the ones this week and not the twos and threes.
Yeah.
So that will help. You kind of know what you have. Frankly, for how coy BYU was relative to the starting quarterback at the beginning of the year, I'm excited that we know this information on Monday, the week of Wyoming. I thought they would have kept that closer to the vest. Klein said, hey, we got to tell you. Okay, we like knowing this, and Wyoming knows it too, so here we go.
Listen, Wyoming knows what Miles Davis did, so he's like,
yes, they do.
Yeah, Miles Davis is going to start. Remember him?
Yeah.
131 yards.
They're like, that guy. Jonah Hill had 160 yards receiving.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Which BYU Statsman says is the most by a receiver in the history of BYU-Wyoming, which they've played 79 games.
160?
Yeah, 160 is the most against Wyoming.
That's crazy.
Hey, Wyoming doesn't allow a lot in the pass game, apparently, historically. So, this is going to be an interesting game because BYU can't just win, Spence. They cannot just win.
They need to look impressive.
They have to take care of the ball and look good on offense.
Yes, and clean.
Yes, clean. And can the defense have a similar performance? Like, I'm thinking one touchdown or less, especially because Wyoming has scored 20 points in two games total. It is tough. And Idaho played Oregon tough. Like, why wouldn't that be a better thing? Idaho played with its backup quarterback. He got knocked out against Oregon. So they were down to their third string at the very end. And Wyoming had the ball down 17-13 and still couldn't come back and muster a win. I have zero confidence that Wyoming's going to pressure BYU in this game from a winning standpoint. If they do, that's a real concern. Because then you walk into Big 12 play, you're going to play all these ranked teams, Spence, and you're going to feel like you're going to win. No, you got to pound Wyoming if you're going to feel like you have a good shot at beating Kansas State.
For reference, Idaho is ranked number 5 in the FCS poll right now.
Good.
Southern Illinois is number 8. Idaho number 5.
Interesting.
Southern Illinois number 8.
SMU, by the way, named Jennings starting quarterback today.
Not surprising.
So BYU knocked Preston Stone. They're like, here, you're not only out of the game, you're out of a starting job. Jake Retzlaff needs to perform well to keep his job, too.
Jerem, this is one of those turning point games for his career, I believe. This is an opportunity for him to go and work through some struggles and to overcome some mental barriers, because I guarantee he's pressing a little bit. He's trying not to think about it, but he's definitely thinking about it. And so if he can just find some confidence, and this is the perfect
game
to do it.
Yes, this is the game for
this
it.
This is the game to do it if he can find some
simple
confidence
stuff.
And like get rid of the, oh man, I'm seeing ghosts out there and things are really sped up. And this is the game for him to figure it out, because if he can't, then it gets weird for sure moving forward as Big 12 play opens up.
There's already a lot of noise about it. We want to see Bohannon and whatever. Like, you've got to play well in this game to keep your job. When you have a quarterback battle in fall and it's close, obviously any moment where you struggle mightily,
Put in the other guy.
Put in the most popular guy, which is the backup quarterback.
That's what happens for sure.
Yeah.
But this is the opportunity for Jake to say, I'm good. I figured it out. A perfect scenario for him to go up and lead a clean, sharp offense. It'd be awesome for BYU to walk out of Laramie with a 25-point win. And 0-1 turnovers.
Yeah. You go in there and you win 30-3 or 30-7 or something. Like, hey, that's awesome. I'd take 28-3. Obviously, I'd like more points than that. But 17-plus feels like this is a game for it. I know there are those of you that are afraid when I say 17-plus. Doesn't happen every time, okay? But, no, if BYU doesn't win by 17-plus, real concern going into Kansas
State. Even though
State,
they're only a 10-point favorite, which we'll discuss later.
No. This is a game where you score a defensive touchdown and add to it.
Okay.
It's that kind of game.
We're asking you the same question that we've been discussing right here. What is the bigger concern for BYU as they head into the Wyoming game? Injuries, specifically to the running backs, or turnovers? At Elite Voice of Day.
Well played.
Says definitely injuries.
What?
The status of the running backs will have a big impact on this week's game and the rest of the season. Again, I don't know.
They're so mad that it's getting mentioned right now and not later.
I don't know that it's going to impact the injuries this game as much as it clearly will when BYU is playing in the Big 12.
Yeah, Wyoming game.
They'll figure it out.
The team is dialed into just this game. I'm not. I'm looking beyond it. Not meaning I'm just brushing over Wyoming. Well, sort of. Sort of.
But we're intrigued because we want to see what Jake's going to do.
Absolutely. Jake Retzlaff is fighting to keep his job constantly. Like, he is.
You got to earn it.
He is. At this level, you've got to maintain greatness.
Yes.
Any starter. I've got to bring it on this show every day to stay in the lineup here. Come on, man. Craig Robinson. Not to be confused with the Oregon State men's basketball coach that was the brother-in-law of Michelle Obama. Maybe it is. At this point, it's the Pop-Tarts. I mean, turnovers.
Oh, okay.
Especially in the red zone, although a Pop-Tart Bowl would be fun. You got to keep the ball to keep drives alive, keep the other offense off the field. On the flip side, get takeaways to put our offense back on the field. Speaking of Pop-Tarts, my wife puts butter on it.
What?
She says it, like, enhances the flavor. Has anyone else tried that? Apparently,
no.
It's awesome. I tried it once. It was fine. It wasn't like, whoa.
No.
Yeah.
I've never tried that.
Anyway, sounds weird. Anyway, yeah. I think you're right. Yeah. You just have to take care of the ball.
I met a representative from the Pop-Tarts Bowl who was at the SMU game.
Nice.
Also a representative from the Cheez-It Bowl. They were both there watching both teams.
Any free stuff? They handing out Pop-Tarts and
Cheez-Its? One was a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints who is from Orlando.
Hey, so I'm a member of that church.
Bowl.
That's cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're there.
I pay the 10%.
They're watching.
Hashtag, you're a card-carrying member.
Hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram to join the conversation.
Wait, you didn't say, I'm the cheesiest.
I did put in a significant plug that BYU would love to be in both of those bowl games.
Now they're like, oh, good. We had that
in case
guy
you didn't know.
That guy told us.
In case you didn't know.
That one guy over there. Okay, a couple quick hitters. Through 2 weeks of the season, Caleb Etienne is the top-graded offensive tackle in college football, according to PFF at 81.2. Is he the most important person, the MIP, on the team right now?
Well, can I use another derivative of MIP?
Yeah.
Most improved person.
Ooh.
He is the most improved,
Jerome. Probably what MIP meant.
It could be important
it.
As well.
Yeah.
He certainly has shown fantastic movement and in the right direction.
Love it.
And TJ Woods told us this would happen in fall camp. We hear a lot of hyperbole, lot of hype.
Oh, 15 pounds of muscle.
But TJ Woods did say, you wait and see. When the games begin, you will see Caleb playing with confidence and a swagger because he understands perfectly what he's supposed to do and where he's supposed to be. And so it's fun to watch that come to fruition, not just to hear his offensive line coach talk about it in fall camp, but to see it through two games. I'm happy for Caleb. This is awesome.
6'8", 320, fifth-year guy, third school guy. Excited for him because this is left tackle you, man. The last three starters have been drafted. So
if he continues this.
Oh, yeah. Granted, he's going to be tested at a higher level, right?
Yes.
Than Southern Illinois and SMU. But so
not
far,
that he hasn't
so far,
seen
so
it
good.
In the Big 12 at Oklahoma State and BYU.
Right. He's seen it before. He played at Oklahoma State. Yeah.
Mm, okay. What's better than week 3 bowl projections? Speaking of
week
the
four.
Pop-Tarts Bowl and the Cheez-It Bowl, BYU's back in the mix, Jerem, and there are a handful. Brett McMurphy has BYU versus Syracuse in the Gasparilla Bowl in Tampa. Mm. ESPN's Kyle Bonagura has BYU and Army in the Armed Forces Bowl. Mark Schlabaugh has BYU and UT San Antonio in the ServPro First Responder Bowl. 24/7 Sports thinks BYU and Air Force could match up in the Armed Forces Bowl. it's a little bit early, but which one of those scenarios do you like best?
Cuse in Tampa, because I don't want BYU to play an option team in the last game.
You want him to face a former Ohio State quarterback who looks pretty good, Kyle McCord?
Yes, Kyle McCord, who transferred from Ohio State despite being the starter, which is like the most interesting thing ever. I don't want BYU to play an option team in the bowl game. Just get their knees wrecked.
Okay.
Before the offseason.
So no Air Force, no Army.
I respect the militaries. Of course, I was born on an Air Force base. I just don't want the boys' knees to be chopped up before winter conditioning.
Yes. I would like to point out that my bowl game projection like 4 weeks ago, if BYU were to play, was against UTSA in the ServPro First Responder Bowl.
Well, you and
I got a chuckle out of that one.
I don't remember what I guessed.
Yeah. The Roadrunners and Cougars.
I think I guessed the Orange Bowl or something. But
I'm with you. I like Tampa and BYU Syracuse. Though BYU alumni in Texas, like the ServPro First Responder Bowl is in Texas, there would be a nice contingent, that is for sure, BYU fans.
And, Texas weather in December, better.
Also not bad.
Yeah, better than Boise. I guess, where was it? The bowl game that we always make fun of? The
Shreveport?
The Shreveport, yeah. As long as it's not raining. Come on. Gosh, Coordinator's Corner is on demand. I watched it yesterday afternoon. Really enjoyed it. Very insightful. I learned a ton, honestly. They're not paying me to say this. I just like the show. It's on demand on BYUSN.com and the BYU TV app. I suppose I am paid to say it, though, because I work here, I guess.
After the break, All-American, NFL guy, former BYU stand at Austin College.
Hey.
Where does he think BYU needs to improve the most after two games into the season? And what does he think of the Puka Nacua situation? This is BYU Sports Nation.
Let's identify who our playmakers are and say, how are we going to get these guys the ball? They're going to pull us out of these types of slumps. Feed your guys in, dude. Let them get in the flow because there is a method to the madness and getting to kind of get a feel for where the defense is going to be.
We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton, teamed up alongside a man who puts butter on his Pop-Tarts.
Well, I don't. My wife does. I did it one time.
You did one time.
One time. It was fine. It wasn't game-changing. No.
All good. Yeah. Hey, the comments are flying in, apparently.
People are telling me they grew up doing this, so there you go.
Joining us now, a man who I'm confident does not put butter on his Pop-Tarts.
No way.
He is Austin Colley, former BYU and NFL wide receiver standout. Austin, great to have you back on the show. So I'm watching Monday Night Football last night and seeing some highlights of the Manning cast. And there's the great Bill Belichick, who you played for in New England. And then there's your buddy Peyton Manning, who's been a longtime friend of yours from your days in Indianapolis. When are you slated to join the Manning cast?
That's TBD, right? I sent out a weekly text to PM, right? Can I get on the show, please? I just have a couple things that I'd like to share, kind of get off my chest. But, I mean, is there anything better than listening to, like, the two of the greatest minds in football just talk shop?
It's awesome.
It's amazing.
Are you referring to us or Peyton Manning and Bill Belichick?
No, you guys.
Oh, right?
I don't know who those other two guys are.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, let's talk about BYU. Obviously, you're pretty fired up on the postgame show Saturday. And Kalani's Takia was fired up in the press conference yesterday talking about take care of the stinking ball and how the ball is the fans and the teams and it's not yours. It belongs to everybody. What do you want to see from this BYU offense Saturday at Wyoming for a team, the Cowboys, that have struggled to start the year?
Let's eliminate the turnovers, right? I think Jake is a little careless with the football, especially when he's running with it. So I would like to see that, you know, he takes better care with it, but you know, on the contrary, I would like to see him run with the ball more, right? I do think that gave us kind of a little juice. And if I can remember right, the games that he was toting the rock a little bit more last year, it gave us a little bit of juice, right? Just those 3 to 4 yards, especially when you're playing, those big time opponents, man, those extra 3 to 4 yards are absolutely crucial. Those are the things that are going to keep you out of third and long, which is what we need to do. And then in terms of getting the receivers involved, man, like, we're down two running backs. Your playmakers are on the edges. It's no more let's run to open up the pass. We got to go to pass immediately, and then hopefully we can get some stuff going with the run. But you have the weapons on the outside, and I know A-Rod knows that. I know Fessy knows that. They all – and there is this kind of balance of, like, okay, what can the guys handle? You know, we've practiced this way. We've counted on having two backs that are extremely talented in the backfield. We've practiced since, what, February or March, having this game plan intact. And now just to kind of flip the offensive playbook on its head and start installing things that are going to more highlight the guys on the edges rather than the running backs, like, that's a difficult job. And I think that's something that comes with time. But I do think there's little things, little tweaks that can happen, especially in the rotation, where you can ensure that at least, like, Chase needs to have 7 touches a game, right? Like, that needs to be the number.
Okay.
Chase Roberts needs to have 7 touches a game. Darius needs to have 5, right? Like, you don't come off the field until those guys get those touches. And then naturally, you're going to see impact happen on the offensive side of the ball.
Austin Colley is on BYU Sports Nation. Clearly, you want Chase, who in large part is BYU's most talented offensive player, to get the ball more. The question is how, Austin? What is the way, the appropriate manner to get him those touches? How would you like to see him get the ball, and where on the field would you like to see him get the ball?
Yeah, listen, Chase's greatest asset is his football IQ, his spatial awareness, right? I'm not – if Chase is a receiver in my offense, I'm not sending Chase on 18 to 20-yard routes. I'm keeping him within the 5 to the 15-yard mark, 5 at the or 15 at the longest, letting him work the middle of the field, letting him work, you know, whip routes, you know, the ability to run away from guys, running digs, running freaking outs from the inside, semis from the inside, getting him involved in the quick game. You know, there were opportunities last game that they went to him, but, you know, either it was a bad throw or it was a batted down ball. But those opportunities are there. We just now need to ensure that he's getting those touches, because Chase does have this knack for making a big play, even when the play is contested, right? Which that is a huge advantage, especially when, you know, it's 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6, and you need to get a first down, and the run game isn't just, it's not doing it for you. Right. So, Chase's ability to kind of live and find those soft spots in the zone, you know, being disciplined in his route running, those are all the things that are going to come into play. And they're only going to make the offense better.
What do you want to see against Wyoming that will give you confidence that BYU can compete and upset Kansas State at home the next week?
I want to see what we saw week one. Right. I want to see what we saw week one, and I want to see. Clearly, the offensive side of the ball was you know, super frazzled, right? A lot of things were rushed. I think Jake felt rushed. I would like to see Jake a little bit more calm back there, and obviously that's going to come from a little bit better protection. I would like to see, you know, Jake get involved in the run game more, being able to extend plays, and ultimately, you know, him not have to feel like the entire season is on his shoulders, which I do think, and I wouldn't blame him for thinking this. I do think that he kind of feels that way, right? He's got Gary Bohannon waiting in the wings. And when that situation is, you know, when you're kind of on a short leash and games like, you know, against SMU happen, that leash only gets shorter. I would still love to have Jake come out feeling kind of like free spirit, confidence in the pocket, just letting it rip, kind of like what we saw in week one.
Austin Colley is on BYU Sports Nation. Okay, so 2 weeks into the season, BYU is a 10-point favorite going to Wyoming. Looks like they're going to finish non-conference unbeaten, barring a major meltdown in Laramie. But is BYU ahead of schedule from where you thought they might be, Austin, or are they on track?
I don't know. We should have won these. We should win these first three games, right? Like, we don't win these first three games, man, we're going to be in trouble in the Big 12, right? We schedule these games to get the W's, kind of give us a head start going into the Big 12, give us some confidence going into the Big 12. I think SMU's a good football team, but I didn't think that it had to be as close as it did. The defense was freaking phenomenal, right? I love seeing our defense fly around. I love seeing the secondary making plays. To say we're on schedule, I would say we're a little bit behind schedule, right? Like, I feel like we should have beat SMU by 2 more touchdowns than we did. And hopefully, yeah, we can go into Laramie and put up more than 12, 15 points.
You got a Laramie memory that sticks out?
No, I only played there once, but who likes to go to Laramie to play football? I mean, let's be honest. Right. I mean, Wyoming, a lot of great players. Right. I know a lot of them. But, I mean, Laramie's the worst.
What was it like as a player going there? Like, did you hear anything, experience anything? We've heard some crazy story over the years. I've seen 2 games there, and it was probably 2 too many.
Yeah, no, it was I only went once, and that was one more than what I wanted to go do. It's frigid cold. I mean, thankfully, we're playing earlier on in the year.
Yeah.
But, the time I went there, it's frigid cold. You know, there's I think the year before, the time prior to me going and playing there, I mean, they were staying in a truck stop, right? Yeah, no heat. I mean, you're camping out in Laramie. I'll
give them, like the I'll pioneers.
I mean, yeah, they any visiting team, you're really going to get a feel for what Laramie and Wyoming is all about. Frigid cold outdoors. You're going to be roughing it.
The truck stop conference takes on a whole new meaning. It's not the Big 12. Austin Colley is on BYU Sports Station. All right, let's turn our attention to the NFL. Got some unfortunate news about Puka Nacua, and he's been placed on the IR. He'll be available to come back on October 20th if he is okay, but we heard PCL sprain. Austin, what's the most difficult part about dealing with something like Puka is dealing with right now, and then when he does come back, trying to get back in the mix?
Yeah, I'd say the most difficult part is coming off that high, right? Like, I mean, Puka was in such a flow. I mean, catching that many balls, I told you this, Spencer, earlier on, catching that many balls, man, it does pose a risk, right? The more reps, the more touches you get, the more risk you are at having an injury. But there is something to be said about, like, kind of that zen state that you get in, which I feel like Puka was in, right? And you feel like you're on top of the world. You feel like everything's coming so easy. You can get open at will. And then to kind of have it stop, man, it is a little like a drug, right? And to not have that drug, man, is super hard. You know, thankfully, you know, Puka's longevity, or history of longevity and his ability to kind of come back after injury, dude, is, you know, it speaks for itself. The kid's a freaking tough kid. He's a dog. I'm sure he's going to do everything in his power to get back on the field as soon as possible.
And better performance, Kingsley Suamatia at left tackle for the Chiefs, or Ryan Rico setting an NFL single game punting average record and a Bengals record?
Ryan Rico. Hands down. Like, that, I showed my kids that kick like 5 different times. Like, that thing was a bomb.
That ball was nuked. It's for
amazing,
sure.
Right? Dude,
I was waiting for it to come down. It didn't come down.
It still hasn't come down.
Still up there.
Great stuff. Hey, put a plug in for Ryan Rico with your buddy Pat McAfee, okay? Because punters are people too, right? For the brand.
Yeah, for the brand, bro. That was a freak. Yeah, I would love to hear what his commentary was about that kick.
Great stuff. Austin, we appreciate your time, brother. Can't wait to do it again this weekend as BYU and Wyoming kick it off in Laramie. Good news, you'll be back in the studio, not in Laramie. You don't have to go, man. You can just talk about the game here.
Yeah. 100%. First question I asked, are we going up there to do it? They said, no. I said, I'm there.
They're meaning Provo.
Awesome.
Yeah, they're meaning Provo.
We appreciate it, brother. Thanks.
All right, fellas. We'll talk to you.
I love Austin.
One time too many.
Hey, Austin had his game face on a Tuesday. Like, he's ready to play today.
He was fired up post-game.
He's not happy about what's going on offense.
Well, and he clearly has invested a lot of time into helping the receivers, notably Chase Roberts.
Right.
So he feels strongly about those guys getting the ball.
He said 7 touches. Chase and Darius were targeted 5 times with 2 catches. Touches meaning the jet sweeps too. So, yeah, not enough. 11 total touches through 2 games. Not enough from Austin Colley, he's saying, for those guys. Okay, after further review, 7 Eastern. Tonight on the BYU TV app as they break down the SMU game. Look ahead to Wyoming on the BYU TV app.
Still on the way, did Fred Warner's Week 1 performance on Monday Night Football surpass the greatness of Ryan Rico that we just discussed? This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social. We're on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton, teamed up with Jerem Jordan. In honor of 100 seasons of BYU football, we're celebrating in a myriad of ways, including looking back at some of the best wins, moments, and plays on this date in Cougar football history. So, Jerem, let's rewind to September 10th of what year?
2022, home opener, BYU ranked number 21. Welcome number 9, Baylor, into Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Jaren Hall at QB, low-scoring defensive battle in the first half. Jaren Hall connects with Chase Roberts at the end of the half. Chase on the case! Robert Griffin III said BYU had a 10-6 halftime lead.
The toe drag swag. In the second half, Chase returned the favor, throwing a touchdown back to Jaren Hall.
Dude, I forgot Chase threw a touchdown pass.
Giving BYU awesome. A 20-13 lead. Game goes to overtime and double overtime. Lopini Katoa scores from 3 yards out to give BYU a 26-20 lead. BYU's defense held strong, got a stop on fourth down, and it's victory. It's rush the field. It's a memorable September 10th.
There was much rejoicing. The first top 10 win at home since Miami in 1998.
Wild.
That was awesome.
Hey. Good times, man. Good vibes. Let's get to today's headlines.
BYU prepares to play Wyoming Saturday. Yesterday, Kalani Sitake spoke to the media, gave an update on the availability of running backs LJ Martin and Hinkley Ropati, saying both are doubtful for Saturday. That means Miles Davis and Enoch Nawahine are expected to get the majority of carries this weekend, perhaps some Pokai Haunga as well.
John Canzano, the Oregonian, reporting that BYU will host Portland State in football in 2025, said Vikings were originally scheduled to play at Oregon State. That game has been dropped. Portland State will instead play at BYU next season.
We'll break down more of what 25 looks like, including this game, coming up on tomorrow's show. John also writes for the Oregonian, which is cool.
Yes, he does.
It's a joke. Fred Warner led the 49ers to a 32-19 win over the Jets last night. Seven tackles and a punch-out force fumble. He is awesome.
It's what he does. BYU women's volleyball at number 17 in the latest AVCA poll. They dropped three spots after losing a hard-fought five-set match to Georgia Tech, who was then number 19. The respect remains for BYU, and they stay in that top 18, Jerem.
161 straight weeks of inside the top 18. Big week at San Diego, and then neutral site Oregon in San Diego. Ooh, Thursday and Friday.
161 straight weeks
on
in
the
top
line.
18.
On the line.
Very much on the line.
Women's golf tees off in the final round at the Dick McGuire Invitational in New Mexico today. Through the first two rounds, yesterday BYU tied for eighth, led by MJ Berrigan, who's tied for fifth overall, shooting two under par.
After the break, all he does is score touchdowns for BYU in each game. He's got two on the season, one in each win, Mata'ava Ta'ase being correct to the name.
That's how it is.
Joins Jerem Jordan next on BYU Sports Nation. BYU Sports Nation continues live from Studio B. I'm Spencer Linton. That is Jerem Jordan.
Hey, Mata'ava Ta'ase right now is a scoring machine. He scored a touchdown in the last two games. Interesting plays against SMU and big-time plays. What's the next step for this offense playing at Wyoming? That and more in our conversation yesterday with Mata'ava Ta'ase. Ta'ava, what, another week, another touchdown, dude. Are you getting used to scoring touchdowns now?
Something like that. Just grateful for the opportunities. That's pretty much how I feel about it, but yeah, definitely it's been awesome. So
let's break down that play. Keanu Hill draws a ton of attention. You're wide open again. Was that the same play as the week before, or just a very similar concept?
Yeah, it was very similar concept. It kind of evolved off of another play that we ran, and credit to the coaches to put that together. They were in cover three, that safety, boundary safety rolled down to play that flat, and he bit on the toss, and yeah, just Jake saw it open up, and I was lucky enough to make the play. So, yeah.
Okay, you catch it, and then I assume you land on the ball, and did you get the wind knocked out of you?
Yeah, so I tried catching it with my hands, and it kind of went off my fingertips, and then so then I had to catch it twice, and then I put it to my body, and then just landed right on it and knocked the wind out of me. So, yeah, it got me pretty good, but, yeah, we're all good now. So,
have you had the wind knocked out of you before?
Nope, that was a first. So there for like the first, I don't know, felt like forever, but probably a few seconds, I didn't know what was happening. I just heard all the guys were trying to get me up and celebrate, and I wanted to, but I couldn't talk or breathe. So yeah, that was a first.
It's scary. If it hasn't happened to you, like you yes. think you're going to die because you can't breathe, right? Like for yeah, a second, were you freaked out?
Yeah, I said the same thing. I thought I was going to die, and all the boys were saying I was being dramatic and everything, and I was trying not to be, but I was being serious, and so they were giving me a hard time on the sidelines. But yeah, yep,
it took a lot of people's breath away, we could say. Keanu yeah. was good because yeah. he's not like, oh man, you didn't throw it to me. He's the first one over to you. He's stoked. It's a fellow yes. tight end, and yep. then he's the one that kind of looks at you and goes, oh, he can't breathe. Don't touch him. Don't touch him.
yeah. No, Keanu's awesome. I mean, the whole tight end room is awesome, but yeah, Keanu just being a leader here and a veteran here at BYU, he's been awesome. And yeah, it's always fun to be out there on the field at the same time as him. And anytime either one of us or any other tight ends get the ball, it's awesome. And we go crazy and celebrate. So yeah.
You could see that with Elder Swanson and his call to Africa, getting yeah. that first down early. You guys were pumped.
Yes.
Man.
Yeah. No, that was awesome, and we didn't expect anything else, but just for him to be able to get out there and get the ball thrown as a true freshman, you guys all know, everybody knows, you know, the athleticism and what a playmaker he is, and so it was just great for him to have that, and yeah, he's awesome. So
I do miss the hair, though.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's what a mission will do, but yeah, that flow was yeah. pretty flowy, so.
He's been hereby called to Provo for the next couple months, and hopefully the end.
That's right,
which is great. Yeah. The other play that I really liked with you that I want you to break down is the special or trick play. Sure. Direct snap to Enoch, handoff to Jake, fake reverse, yep.
tight end delay to you. Do you know right away, like, dude, this is going to work. I'm going to get the ball.
I mean, we figured, I mean, looking at their defense and how they played, we figured it would happen, and you never know with those plays. Sometimes it doesn't work out, but luckily it was, and it worked out. So yeah, it was a good play. Wish I could have stayed on my feet and scored, but hey, we went out and were able to finish the drive. So yeah, it was awesome.
Did Mason Wake text you about your hurdling?
not that I know of, but I'm sure he was watching, and I won't be like Mason, but try to be like Mason and even Isaac. I had, you know, a couple hurdles career too, so yeah, just gotta, even all the boys on the sideline were all like, hey, I didn't know you had it in you. I was like, hey, we gotta be like all the tight ends that come before here. So yeah,
like, awesome. I'm the touchdown catching hurdling guy, call me Chad Lewis, right?
Yeah, something like that. So, yeah.
Okay, offensively, obviously, lots to clean up. Where does the conversation start as a group to be like, okay, we won that game. Our defense was awesome. We made some timely plays.
Sure.
Let's be better this week. Where does that conversation begin?
Yeah, I think for me, I mean, I can only speak for me. I don't know what the coaches say, but I think the biggest thing that we can take away from that is that when adversity hits, no matter how ugly it is, that we can – go out there and trust in the play calls and trust in each other to go make the plays. And that's what we did, you know. It wasn't pretty, but we were able to, when it counted, that we were able to go out there and execute. And yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. But then going from that, I think the biggest thing is just each individually going back and watching the film and being able to fix your 111th. And I think if we do that, then next week we'll be able to put a full game together and see how explosive our offense is and can be when we put it all together. So, yeah.
It's fun to see guys be ready for the moment. Enoch Nawahine sticks out. LJ goes out. Hinkley goes out, right? Miles is in the mix, but Enoch comes in and he scores a massive touchdown.
Yeah.
What was it like for you guys to see that, hey, this guy who might be like fourth or fifth on the depth chart, he was ready?
Yeah. You know, it's the funny thing is, you know, I'm so bought in and we're all so bought in that when things like that happen, it's not surprising to us, even though it's surprising to, you know, the outsider looking in. We all knew that Enoch, when he gets the ball in his hands, you can ask anybody on offense, when he runs hard and he's going to go all the way. And he was able to do that. And it was a big, big time play on fourth down to go score that touchdown. And it was a huge touchdown that we needed. And so, yeah, it was awesome. He's the man. And so, yeah.
What'd you think of the defensive performance? Cause that was kind of an all timer for BYU.
Yeah. I mean, again, we're not surprised, but for them to go out there and do it is like, you know, we have it gives us a lot of confidence, especially when we were struggling throughout that game. They were supportive and just uplifting on the sidelines, and they kept on going out there and doing their job. And I think that was a big help for us to go out there and just keep on executing and making the plays that we did when we needed to. So
let's talk about the hat. It's the Cougar Club logo. It's an old school logo. It looks nice. Like, is that a different material hat?
Yeah, it's like a corduroy. Yeah. It's a company that makes them, and yeah, it's super nice. I didn't know that was a logo, but that was pretty cool. So.
Yeah. It's nice, dude. I got to get me hands on one of these. These are nice. Maybe if you score another touchdown this week, it's 3 weeks in a row, you're like, hey, free hat, giveaway, signing, and you just do it to me. You just give it to me.
Let's do it. We'll do it.
Okay, if you score a touchdown, I'm going to follow up on that.
All right.
Okay, at good. Wyoming.
Yeah.
Obviously a team that's 0-2, but a team that's going to be way up for BYU coming up in Laramie.
Sure.
I know it's early in the week, but what's the conversation like about this game? And obviously you guys aren't from the WAC Mountain West days, but the fan bases really understand that this means something for Wyoming.
Yeah, I think that's definitely, I guess, an icing on the cake, or having that history and to be able to go and play in that game with so much history between the two teams. But I think for us and for me, just taking this game as this is the next game and we got to go 1-0 this week. And when we do that, then everything that comes along with it will just be a good experience and fun for us and the fans to be able to be involved in that rivalry or whatever you want to call it. So
have you been to Laramie before?
Never. Nope. So
you got to go once. That's what I say to everybody. You got to go once at least.
Yeah, probably once, and that's probably it.
I've been there twice, and BYU won twice. So it was a good experience. I'm hoping your experience is the same. Tava, thanks for the time, and I'm looking forward to getting that hat.
Appreciate you. Thanks, Jared. You're the man.
For a touchdown, so I can get that hat, man.
Let's go three for three.
Hey, you're talking about a corduroy Cougar Club hat? That thing's one of the goats. That's great. Hey, BYU football with Kalani Sitake is tonight, 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app, featuring Tyler Batty, who something happened to his ear during the game. This dude's a warrior. Played through it. He's in the backfield. He's making plays. That's tonight, 8:30 Eastern.
And he still de-cleated Kevin Jennings.
Yes, he did.
Up next, we celebrate Top 5 Tuesday with the top 5 wins ever against WYO.
Oh, no, don't do that. That's I got PTSD from 96.
This is BYU Sports Nation.
No, none of that, man.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Station. It's time for Top 5 Tuesdays. We look back on the top 5 wins by BYU football against Wyoming.
Third most games against any opponent, by the way. Utah, Utah State, Wyoming. Number 5, the first ever win in BYU football history was in 1922 when they beat Wyoming, fourth game of the season. How about Paul Packard to fullback Hunter Manson in the fourth quarter? Sorry we don't have the video. But that was the first win in BYU history. It was against WYO.
And a 7-0 win.
Yes.
Only points.
Pitch to shutout.
Number 4, forever poinsettia champs. Rewind to 2016. Josh Allen at quarterback for the Cowboys. Tanner Mangum filling in for the injured Taysom Hill. But this was all about Jay Swag Daddy.
Look at his jersey, dude. So dirty.
24-7 lead in the fourth quarter. He had 206 yards in the game after that last scamper. Kai Nakua picked off Josh Allen with a minute left to seal the 24-21 win for BYU.
It rained the whole game. We were down there. It was
miserable, but it was super fun because BYU won the last poinsettia bowl.
Number 3, 1990 against Wyoming. At number 25, Wyoming, BYU's number 8, 7-1. Cougars jump out 24-0. Never looked back. Ty Detmer, 484, 2 touchdowns en route to winning the Heisman. Running back Peter Tuipulotu, his son Petey's the safety on the team now, adding 3 rushing touchdowns, 45-14. I believe Hunter the punter. Oh, was Brad, he in this game? Was that 88?
Brad Hunter, the punter, I thought he was a little bit later in the 90s.
Maybe 92.
Okay. 1984. A lot of people forget about this game. BYU obviously had to win them all to stay perfect. The Cougars were number 5 in the AP poll entering the game. 7 lead changes in this game. Robbie Bosco, 384 yards passing, 5 touchdowns through the air, 3 of which were to David Mills. BYU trailed 38-33 going into the fourth quarter. Drama! But the third Bosco to Mills touchdown gave BYU a 41-38 win en route to their perfect season and a national championship.
And the best win against Wyoming. Both of us were teenagers in this game. 1996, the inaugural WAC championship game. 20-6 BYU. Trying to make the Cotton Bowl, BYU 13-0 up. Then we're down 25-20. Late Ethan Potchman field goal sends the game into OT. Sark getting sacked. This was tough. This one ties it. And they get to OT, they force a field goal, but ultimately BYU right here, 32 yards, Ethan Potchman.
Let's go, Ethan!
I'm in this shot somewhere right there. I'm in there somewhere. You were there.
First time I've ever rushed a field in any event was that game.
And not the last.
And it was my first ever trip to Las Vegas.
So fun.
Speaking of Vegas, my wife's birthday today. She's from Henderson. Happy birthday,
Happy birthday
Brittany.
To Brittany, yeah.
Outstanding. Our question of the day. What's the bigger concern for BYU football as they head into the next game with Wyoming? Is it injuries at running back or the turnovers? Our elite voice of the day in from at Tenor2Law, who tweets in simply a picture of turnovers. This is well played, Gregory Hess.
Better than a picture of an injury.
Well, okay? Well played, my friend.
That's funny.
Those taste delicious.
I'm having PTSD from 2008 after the Utah game. There was an Arby's up in Salt Lake that made fun of BYU's turnovers after that game, if
what?
You recall.
Oh, yeah. Brutal. Yeah.
So I've had enough of turnovers, although they are delicious.
Today's Rising Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Fred Warner getting it done on Monday Night Football. Not a Niners fan, but a Fred Warner fan. Nice force fumble, 7 tech.
It's what he does. Yep. It's like every game for Fred Warner.
It's what he does.
Our thanks to today's guests, Austin Colley and Mata'ava Ta'ase.
Hey, we had time for Austin Colley, but not Dennis Pitta. Sorry. Maybe next time.
Coming up next on BYU TV, the BYU devotional featuring President Shane Reese and his wife, Wendy. Stay tuned. For Jerem, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Bud Burr. And we'll see you tonight at 8:30 Eastern for BYU football with Kalani Sitake.